Praise God. Well, let me just give you a few announcements. After church, I was going to say it'd be a snowball fight, but I was going to make some comment there about Teo, but I won't. I'll keep it good. Okay, look, we do have. Okay, no, it's not. It's coming through the monitor. Hear me now? It's the first time. It's the first time ever. Okay, that's all. Just use this. Praise God. Right. Look, I know it's snowy. I appreciate you coming out today and making every effort. Tonight we do have a program, and it will start at 6. We'll just reduce it a little so that it's not going to be too long. But we would love you to come out. The children have put in a lot of hard work for this evening, and it'd be a shame for us just to cancel it. Just to encourage you, the graders now grit this immediate road adjacent to the church. They didn't last year, but they have done it this year, so there's no problem coming into the church. Unfortunately, we can't use the school, but we have plenty of parking round by the church. It's all been gritted. So please, come out. 6 o'clock, amen? Anybody not coming out? Just, okay. I should have done that the other way. Okay, all right. But please come out and encourage the children. We have a great program. Invite your neighbors. Let people know in the church we still have a program. Amen? It'd be a shame to disappoint them. They've put a lot of hard work into their nativity play. And we're just on the hour. We'll be here from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We'll have a hot mince pie, a hot coffee, and home we go. So today after church, there'll be no coffee here to my left for newcomers, but I don't see any in. But the coffee will be in the lounge. Church of Pentecost will be using the church from midday. If they are here, then we will use the south door, not the main entrance, okay? So bear that in mind. Praise God. Well, Christmas is upon us. It's here. I was reading in the paper yesterday, a lot of people are so stressed with Christmas that their heart rate goes up, and in fact, Christmas can be a risky time. Just shopping. Well, any time is a risky time for men. Shopping and shopping and more shopping. And, you know, we forget about the whole meaning of Christmas. We live in such a materialistic world. We forget about what it's all about. And I think I'm on here now. Thanks, Teo. You can turn that off. Jesus is the reason. So whether you've got the gift or not doesn't really matter. All these presents and gifts and trees and everything, that's not what it's all about. It's all about Him. Amen? Amen. It's all about Him. Now, next weekend, 10:30, Christmas morning, we'll be having a program. Children, I'd love you to bring a small toy so that Teo can play with it. So 10:30 next Saturday, or Christmas morning. Then next Sunday, Boxing Day, 10:30, we will be having an hour service. It's the only service next Sunday, 1 hour. So please try and come out. I should let you know too that coming in the new year, we will be having a week of prayer, starting on Sunday the 9th of January. We need to pray more, especially at the beginning of the year, asking God to set the standard, the level that we go forward, knowing His anointing, knowing the Spirit of God. Amen. Yes, we've had a difficult year, a good year, and people have come to know the Lord great. But let's start the year on a level of God's anointing. Amen. And see that just momentum being built up and built up. as we start 2011. So that starts on Sunday, the 9th of January. You might want to put it in your diaries, your schedules. I'm sorry you don't have a newsletter this morning, but we'll give it more information at the beginning of the year. And then please remember, on the last Saturday in January, we're bringing El Al Ministries here. And that will be a great day. You know, many of us, we do not appreciate and we do not enjoy the blessing of God's so great salvation because of the baggage of the past. I've heard people say, well, when I became a Christian, God dealt with that. Yes, He dealt with the penalty. But yet, I can still be robbed of peace and joy because of my lack of understanding about the cross. And this I know, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if you're still got hiccups concerning old behavior, wrong patterns of belief, whether that comes from generational patterns, whether that's ungodly belief patterns that you have believed for many, many years, God needs to change that. And I believe God wants His people to be set free. Amen. So you schedule, it'll be a whole day, LL Ministries, there'll be a time of ministry too. You schedule that day. Why? Because you're going to be blessed that day, well blessed. And God will do something in your life. I'm not afraid to walk in the light, because when you walk in the light, then it exposes the darkness, amen, and the enemy cannot have a foothold in your life. You will pick up information at the reception desk. Please fill in the little slip, give it to Jenny Stent in a few weeks' time. Just let us know that you are coming. The cost will be £3 for the day. I know Colin's providing a nice lunch. That's covering the cost. We'll also take up an offering for El Al Ministries. But I've told you about the day. It's going to be a terrific day. Amen? A terrific day. Bless God. I don't think I've forgotten anything else. Just to say happy birthday to Rod. He was 65 on Friday. Happy birthday, Rod. I almost had forgotten, but the Spirit reminded me. Amen. 65. God bless you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures, so if you've got your Bibles, you're going to use them today. And again, like last Sunday, I'm going to minister the Word to you. The Spirit of God will bring the Word to your heart and quicken you. And you will just enjoy God and the Spirit just quickening that Word, making it alive inside of you. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Amen. The big news in December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Thrilled at their success, they telegraphed this message to their sister Catherine. We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. Catherine, so excited, hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. He glanced at it and said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the big news. Man had flown. And people today, in our culture and society, make a similar mistake when they hear the word Christmas. They don't think of Jesus and his miraculous birth. Instead, they think of family gatherings, meals, decorations, gifts. But if that's all that Christmas means to us, we are missing its true significance. Have you ever wondered why we have Christmas? Well, we do know that Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. And we do know that the 25th of December had nothing to do with his birth. I acknowledge that. But it is good, even though it's a winter festival, it is good that we acknowledge that God did come at one time. And Jesus probably was born maybe around September, around October, because we do know that the shepherds were still there in the fields watching their flock by night. But it's not just about the presents that we get. It's not about the house that we decorate. It's not just having a nice holiday. Jesus, as you've heard before, is the reason for the season. Christmas truly is Christ. Without him, there is really no Christmas. Try to imagine what Christmas would be like without Christ. What a dismal thought. And yet millions of people today will celebrate this season without him, and they have no idea of the significance of Christmas. In this brief passage, the writer here to the Hebrews, he summarizes what Jesus as Son came to earth to do. He didn't just come to give us a Christmas holiday. He came to give us much more. First of all, we see that Christ revealed God's person, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. You see, at various times, in various ways, God spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. God spoke in different ways. But in these last days, God has revealed himself to us through his Son, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. In every age, men have tried to find out God in their own strength. In every age, they have failed. The result of this quest is seen in the variety of philosophies and religions. But we cannot know God except through his revelation of himself to us. And I'm so glad God has spoken. Amen. Before there was silence, as we know, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was no prophetic word at all. For 400 years, a period of silence and complete darkness, God did not speak. But in these last days, God has spoken. Amen. He has spoken. And he has made it quite clear in the revelation of his Son to us, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, because to have knowledge of God is to have eternal life. And we cannot know him except through this revelation. As Jesus said, and this is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now let me pause for a moment. Aren't you glad that you know God? Go on, church. Aren't you glad that you know God? You think about it for a moment. If God had not spoken, if God had not revealed himself to us through his Son, you and I would still be lost without hope. But I know God. I'm stopping for a moment. I know God. And in knowing God, I know eternal life. I don't know about you, but when I minister to people, talk to people, connect with people who don't know God, I think, what kind of world do you live in? They have no hope. And when death comes, it's revealed they have nothing. I thank God, even in death, I still have hope. Before death, I have more than hope. Because I have life. Life. We see that it is the Son who reveals the Father. If you want to turn to John, I did say you will be opening your Bibles because I want to minister the Word. It's good that you bring your Bibles or your electronic machines because the Word will bring life. And in John 17, Jesus said in verse 6, he said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That makes Christianity unique. Because in today's society, we want to say, well, there are many ways to God. There are many ways. All religions have some value. And therefore, they all lead to the same goal. No. Jesus Christ made it quite clear the uniqueness of his personhood and the uniqueness of this way. There is only one way. There's only one truth and there's only one life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And verse 7 he said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I in the Father and the Father in me? This is interesting. Because when we see Jesus, we see the glory of the Father. Jesus told his disciples that they had already seen the Father. And Philip questioned him concerning this. Isn't Philip's question interesting? He said, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. Sufficient. Jesus was not enough for Philip. And this morning, folks, I want you to focus on Jesus because Jesus is more than enough. But sometimes in our lives, we want more. We want more, just as Philip. He wanted to see more, but we want Jesus, but something extra. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you satisfied with Jesus and Jesus only? Are you? Philip said, show us the Father and it will be sufficient for us. It will be enough for us. Jesus responded with a gentle rebuke and said, look, Philip, do you not know that I've been with you so long? You've seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus Christ came to reveal God to us, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. The incarnation, which is God becoming man, is a great mystery. Great mystery. God became man. I believe that. That is an abomination to those in Islamic world. The very thought that God could become man is a total abomination. But God revealed himself to us through his Son. And this is the greatness of the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, emerged in Palestine as a baby who could not speak nor eat solid food, who was dependent on a teenage couple for shelter and love. He came and he humbled himself. God revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus. In Jesus, God found a way of relating to us humans that did not involve fear. Over the summer period, I had a little job to do for a friend, and that was to look after his fish. I'll let you into a little secret. I was a little bit fearful that those fish would die. I was a little bit fearful that I would overfeed them, that I would underfeed them. And I would just put a little bit of fish food in each night. And when I left that house, those fish were alive. Now if the owner of the house comes back and finds that the fish are dead, it's not my fault. I kept those fish safe because I looked after them. But I discovered something very interesting. Because my whole well-being was to look after those fish. My whole desire was to make sure that those fish would stay alive. But every time my shadow loomed above the tank, they would drive for cover into the nearest shell. I'm not a bad person. I was rather good. I was feeding them. Don't you respond to that. But they showed me only one emotion. Fear. They were afraid of me. Even though I was going night after night feeding them. Although I opened the lid and dropped in the food, they responded to each visit as a sure design that I was there to torture them. You see, to those fish whom I had to look after, I am deity. To those fish, I'm God. I am too large for them. My actions too hard for them to understand. And for me to communicate to them, I would have to become a fish and speak to them in a language they could understand. A human being becoming a fish is nothing compared to God who became a baby. And this is what happened in Bethlehem. God was manifested in the flesh. God became man. And to know God, we must know Christ. God gave us His Son, and the Son gave us God. Amen. So first of all, we see that Jesus came to reveal God's person. And then secondly, He came to reveal God's power, upholding all things by the word of His power. This is intended to bring home to us the infinite ability of Christ. He is fully competent for the work entrusted to Him. He brings divine power to the fulfillment of His mission, upholding all things by the word of His power. Jesus Christ is not just God in name. He is God in His power and in His glory. Amen. That is our God. Okay, let's look at another verse of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, just open them there. This is a lovely portion of Scripture. Colossians 1 and verse 14. Let's read from verse 14. Paul says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Now listen. He is the image of the invisible God. Amen. The firstborn over all creation. Now let me stop there. If you get the Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons coming to your door, they'll try and trip you up by the phrase firstborn. Because they believe that Jesus was born. And therefore, if He were born, He is not God. Because that's just the way of it. God is eternal. God has no beginning, no end. He is forever and ever and ever. But the phrase here, firstborn, is nothing to do in relation with time. The phrase firstborn is to do with title. To do with a position. Nothing to do with birth. Okay? Because if that were to do with time or birth, the Word of God has contradicted itself. Because in the next line, "For by Him all things were created." Created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Amen. So the whole phrase firstborn has nothing to do in relation with time. It has to do, it's a phrase that was used in the Old Testament with Moses and others. It had to do with position, title. Our God is majestic. Amen. Our God is supreme. And Jesus is the creator of all things. Through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Amen. Verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." My friends, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. So not only does Jesus come to reveal God's person, He comes to reveal God's power. And thirdly, He comes to reveal God's pardon. When He, by Himself, purged our sins. This is what Christmas is all about. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The cross overshadowed the manger. Jesus was born to die for you and I. We know that the problem with mankind was sin, the enmity that separated us from man and God. But in Christ, we are now reconciled to God because Jesus has dealt with the barrier, the enmity, the sin problem. The fullness of time was come. God sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them who were under the law, that they may receive the adoption of sons. And this is what is missing from people's thoughts on Christmas. We are confused about Christmas. We seek the mall instead of the manger. We follow the seals and not the stars. But Jesus came in the fullness of time to redeem us, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Then, fourthly, Jesus reveals to us God's permanent provision. Amen. Let's get that right. Jesus reveals to us God's permanent position. Because here in Hebrews, we read, being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had purged our sins, what did He do? Set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I love this phrase. Because Jesus did not just die and rise again. Jesus is still working on our behalf. Amen. He didn't just sit down, not as one who completed His work and would retire to enjoy His rest and His reward. But He sat down as one who, having done a preliminary part of His work, takes up a fitting position for permanently carrying it on. I love the vision of Stephen, that first martyr. You know the story of Stephen, how he was being stoned to death. In fact, there was a man there, his name was Saul, who changed his name to Paul. Quite amazing when you look at the Word of God. And when you handle a difficult situation with grace, you know what happens? God is able to minister with grace. And Paul, he was there threatening the church, destroying the church. In fact, Paul was there and he was keeping the cloaks and clothes of those who were throwing stones. Now Stephen, he could have reacted with anger. He could have reacted with bitterness. After all, he was being stoned to death for something he didn't really do. He was standing up for his faith. When we react in a situation, we give a foothold to the enemy. When we respond to a situation with grace, we give God and the Spirit of God an opportunity to bring grace. Because of Stephen's response at the time of his death, I believe it brought conviction into Saul's heart. And Saul became Paul, who became the great writer of the New Testament. But think of Stephen's death. And he being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus. Wouldn't it be good? Well, I do believe in times of departure, there are those who see Jesus. Such is the peacefulness of death. we have no fear in death. And Jesus, as he, Stephen, as he was being stoned to death, as he stood up for his faith, he saw something of the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. I want you to note a few things here. Note where Jesus is standing or sitting. Where is it? The right hand. It is a position of authority, a position of preeminence. But Jesus, I want you to note, he is not standing, he's sitting. When you say, well, there's a contradiction in Scripture. No. You know what I believe? I believe that Jesus stood up to welcome Stephen. That's what I believe. Just as Stephen was about to depart from this earth, Jesus stood up to welcome his son. Welcome his child into heaven. But here in Hebrews, and it's important you understand this, Jesus sat down at the right hand. If you have your Bibles, you may open them to scripture I looked at last week in Hebrews chapter 7. I talked about him who is able to do, able to deliver, able to make grace abound toward us. Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I looked at the phrase, him who's able to save. And here in Hebrews chapter 7, we see that phrase. But before we get there, chapter 7 and verse 1, Jesus, his priesthood, his way of interceding for us as priests is after the order of Melchizedek. So it's important you draw this contrast. Now, Melchizedek, in verse 1, we see is without father and without mother, without genealogy. Neither the beginning of days nor the end of life. It's eternal. And the writer here says, but made like to the Son of Man, remains a priest continually. Continually. In verse 23, we read, there are many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. Jesus was not prevented by death from continuing. He has a ministry that is permanent, and he is interceding for you and I. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Praise God. Verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. In chapter 8, verse 1. And this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest. Amen. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary. We have such a high priest who is able to save. I want you to understand, Jesus sat down and he permanently intercedes for us. In chapter 10, I love Hebrews, I've just been doing it in my devotions, as you've seen in past weeks. And here in chapter 10, verse 12, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down. There is no need for him to offer a sacrifice continually. There is no need for him to be crucified Sunday after Sunday at a communion feast or mass. He offered one sacrifice. He cried on the cross, "It is finished." He paid the price. But he continues, listen, he hasn't just gone to heaven to sleep, to wait for us to come to him. He continues in his priesthood to intercede for us, amen. And when you and I fail, when you and I make a mistake, Jesus is there at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And John said, "I write to you that you sin not." Amen. Sin is not our lifestyle. We don't habitually continue to sin. We don't deliberately go out of our way to willfully be disobedient. If that's your attitude, to be disobedient, there is a question mark over whether you know or have the Spirit of God inside of you. Because if God's Spirit and seed is inside of you, you cannot willfully live a habitual lifestyle of sin. But John said, "Look, but if you do sin," you see, we haven't arrived, we're not perfect. There is that vulnerability that we will have a wrong thought, wrong word, wrong action. But if you do sin, we have a mediator. We have a lawyer, amen? An advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what happens when I mess up? You know what happens when I fail? Jesus intercedes. And so thank God, he came to reveal God's person. He came to reveal God's power. And he came to reveal God's pardon. And thank God, he came to reveal God's permanent provision. Do you know this God? I do. Do you? Do you know him? This is what Christmas is all about. It's not about the trees. It's not about the presents, chestnuts, the holly. It's about God becoming a baby in a manger. The Lamb of God who was crucified, sacrificed for us, that our sins be forgiven, our sins purged. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you have this understanding? If you do, you ought to rejoice. Amen. This is the reason for the season, reminding us that Jesus came to express the glory and the power of our God. Let's stand. Praise God. I'm going to ask one or two just to give God thanks. We don't often do this because of the building, sometimes we can't hear, but just project your voice. Use those diaphragm muscles and project and just give God thanks. One or two. Just thank God for this festive time where we come to celebrate him. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord, for the way you continue to bring people to yourself, to know you, through your hope.
Praise you, God. Praise you, God. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you became man. God became man and dwelt among us. Oh, God, we thank you that we have received this wonderful revelation in our hearts and our spirits. We now know you, the living God, the living God. And so, Lord, may we bring you worship, may we bring you praise and glory, because you alone art worthy. Amen. 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 We're going to just take up our offering this morning as we bless the Lord, as we sing a song together. But aren't you glad that you're a Christian? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you are a Christ one? You've come to know God. You've come to know Him. I am. I know if I die right now, I'm not intending to go right now. But I know if I go, I'm going straight to glory. Why? You say, oh, Billy, that's presumptuous. No, it's not. Because the moment you accept Jesus, you are passed from death unto life. I will live forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Glory. So what is time? Time is just a little dot. It's a little dot compared to eternity. And I pray that little dot, that life, my life, will bless Him, honor Him, and glorify Him as I serve Him down here. Amen. So let's give off our tithe and our offering to Him as we bless the Lord. Amen.